Welcome to the program. I am Jim Rome. I am live in Southern California in the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you want to buy a home or refinance your current home, Rocky can. All right, so really quickly, let me tell you about my thought process. Let me tell you about the things I was thinking about yesterday, and then let me tell you about something I was not thinking about. So I'm watching the Dodger game, and I'm thinking to myself, they're down 5-2, and they had an early lead, and they were at home. And that thing, that yard was a graveyard, man. That was a very nervous, quiet yard. And things were not going their way. So I was thinking to myself, all right, so what's tomorrow's show going to be like? What is the tone of the show going to be like? And I know you clones. And by clones, if you're new to the program, clones is not, it's a generic term for listeners. It's not derisive. It's not negative. It's just neutral. And I know you better than you know yourselves. And I know what you're going to do with something like that. So I knew that we'd have probably 3 hours of LA hate, Dodger hate, because not that you even care that it's Atlanta. You just hate LA. And I get this. I know this. Everybody hates LA. So if LA is the defending champs and LA is the team to beat, arguably, and Atlanta comes in and does them in their house and is on the verge of sweeping them out, I know what it's going to be like. And then all of a sudden, in a split second, everything changed. And just as I knew that because it was Cody Bellinger who changed everything with the most improbable swing imaginable, that because you couldn't hate on the Dodgers, you would come in and call him a stoner for 3 hours. I knew that too. So these are the things that I thought about. Here's what I did not think about when he turned on that ball and the second it went over the fence. The one thing I did not think about was going to my closet and picking out a blue shirt to rock today. I don't wear gamers. I don't wear jerseys. I think once in my career, or at least since I've been in the studio, have I ever wore something that was reflective of or indicative of something that was going on. I put on one of my UC Santa Barbara Gaucho pullovers for one big game once. But believe me, I would never go to my closet and select something based on a baseball team or a football team or a basketball team, unless it were my college. Fact. So no, this blue shirt I'm wearing right now has got nothing to do with the Dodgers winning. Dodger Jim did not go into his Dodger closet and select a Dodger blue shirt. Here's a little secret for you. This little sissy blue shirt, right? Here's a little secret. I'll be transparent about this. I'll be honest about this. David August makes my clothes like he does for a lot of people on TV. The clothing comes with a book. It's true. This may seem lame to you, and I'll own it. I run right out of that book. I do what the book says. Once in a while, in fact, today's the rare day where I went off the book. Everything corresponds to the book. Today, I went off the book. Today, I'm like, I think that shirt will match these pants. And then I thought to myself, it doesn't matter if they don't because nobody sees the pants. Now, I'm not one of those douchebags who's wearing shorts underneath a nice dress shirt. But my point of this whole rant to open up hour number two is what I'm wearing has absolutely nothing to do with what happened in sports last night, much less the LA Dodgers coming back the way they did. I don't care how much you hate LA. I don't care how much you hate the Dodgers. I don't care how much you hate me or my blue shirt. You can't say that wasn't an awesome moment. That was an amazing October baseball moment. All right, that said, let me explain to you the beef segment because people are already lining up. If there's something you want to beef about, I don't care what it is. It could be anything, anything at all. Sports, non-sports, anything. Set it up. We're going to beef at 1040. 1-800-636-8686. All I ask in return for that is you get in, you get out. Say what it is that's pissing you off and then keep moving. Don't do a whole diatribe. Just get in, get out. What's your beef? I'll give you an example. My beef. I don't know if it's because I updated my iOS, but my iMessages started to come from an email address and not my telephone number. And it took me about 2 hours to figure it out. And it's not the first time either. That's my beef. That pissed me off so much. Luckily, I fixed it. All right, then. Why don't we start the second hour with another fresh topic? Ben Simmons. The NBA season is underway. There are people freaking out about the Lakers, but the big topic really is Ben Simmons. The Ben Simmons saga. I got to be honest, up until now, it's been pretty tedious, pretty lame, pretty boring. I was over it. But then in the last week or so, man, it got nice. It got really interesting all of a sudden. As an example, there was Simmons shocking everybody by reporting last week. Remember that. And when I say shocking everybody, I mean everybody. Like his own team, his own organization didn't even see that coming. Somebody actually texted GM Elton Brand to say that Ben was outside the building and needed to get in order to take a COVID test. Like, they're like, he's outside? They didn't even know. At that point, it sounded like, all right, Ben is coming home, and it's going to get a little bumpy, and it should be a little bit rocky, but at least the guy's showing up to go to work. In the very least, if this guy shows up and tries a little bit, then maybe that should help the team trade him. Or at least that was the thought. But then there was that report last week that some people in the organization thought that he might have actually faked COVID exposure in order to get out of Game 7 of the Atlanta Hawks series, which is still one of the most insane reports ever. A perennial all-star allegedly faking COVID exposure to avoid playing in a Game 7. Treating a Game 7 of the postseason like a 7th grade geometry test. Faking a sick day to get out of taking a test. Faking a sick day or a headache or a stomach ache so you could do it again later on. So that was then. Then you had that practice where he allegedly was carrying a phone in his pocket during that practice. Which sounds crazy, right? But then let's be honest. If you tried to fake a COVID exposure to avoid the biggest game of your entire career, showing up with a laptop in your pants would sound normal. And then you've got yesterday and everything that went down yesterday. Shams tweeted, quote, sources, Doc Rivers asked Ben Simmons to join a defensive drill today. Simmons refused. Rivers asked again. Simmons said no again. Rivers then told Simmons he should go home, and Simmons dropped the ball and left. End of tweet. Now that's awesome. I mean, that is the absolute best. If faking a COVID test and showing up with a phone in his pants was middle school, then this is preschool. I mean, imagine being so far in your own head, so completely and utterly gone, that you thought that it would be a good idea to just refuse to participate in a drill. And then to refuse to participate in that same drill a second time and then get kicked out of practice. And then it's not just leave, all right? It's not just, they sent me home. I mean, guys get kicked out of practice, right? But it's not just that. You're also suspended for the opener. And now you're out $1.4 million, according to Woj, and you're making a total ass of yourself every step along the way. And it doesn't have to be this way. You do not have to set your entire reputation on fire in the process. You do not have to make everybody think that you're an unprofessional, immature, petulant little brat. You don't have to have your teammates talking about babysitting you the way Joel Embiid was yesterday.
But at the end of the day, our job is not to babysit somebody. You know, we here, we get paid to put just on the court, go out, play hard, win some games. That's all we get paid for. We don't get paid to come out here and, you know, try to babysit somebody and show my teammates feel that way.
We don't get paid to come out here and babysit our teammates. And that's not the only thing Joel had to say. There was also this.
At this point, I don't care about that man, honestly. He does whatever he wants. You know, that's not my job. You know, that's those guys' jobs. You know, I'm only focused on trying to make the team better, win some games, you know, play hard every night. Try to lead, you know, the guys that we have here. And I'm sure they feel the same way because, you know, our chemistry has been excellent despite, you know, everything that's been happening in the last few months. So, yeah, like I said, I don't really care.
Like, we can debate how he meant that. We can debate the comma position. Was he saying, I don't really care about that man? Or was he saying, I don't really care about that man? One is a little more severe, but neither is good. Nor is the fact that Joe chased it with, quote, he does whatever he wants, end quote. Not exactly a ringing endorsement to any potential trade partner. Hey, Ben, how is this whole thing working out for you? Because everybody knows that you're a gifted player. Everybody knows that you can do things on the floor that only a few other guys can actually do. Lockdown defender, excellent distributor, and yes, shooting is a massive flaw at the moment. But if you fix that, we're talking about you maybe being an MVP candidate year after year after year. Like, you could have the league in the palm of your hand. Instead, you've made yourself completely toxic, and honestly, you look like an idiot.
You're an idiot.
Do yourself a favor. Fire up that tablet that you allegedly had in your pants and check out the local headlines in Philadelphia today. There's Ban Simmons. There's BS Walks. Like, if you really want to be traded, there are ways you can do it. I mean, it's not pretty, it's not professional, but it'll get the job done. It works. You could do what Anthony Davis did in New Orleans and request a trade, and then make it clear that it's really not a request, but it's a demand. Or you can do what James Harden did and skip working with his team and hand out honey buns with little baby or two little baby, and then show up fat. I mean, barrel-chested when you do show up. Or you could do what plenty of guys have done in the past and report for camp and then fake an injury. Suffer a hamstring pull and just sit out. You could do any of these things. Or you could do what you've done, which is pretty much shoot yourself in the foot every possible way. Nobody looks worse here than Simmons. Say what you want about James Harden and how hard he partied and the fact that he ate his way out of Houston, allegedly. Everybody knew he wanted to get to a better place. The Rockets were rebuilding. Harden did not want to be a part of that rebuild. That part of his antics was understandable on some level. Ben Simmons, though, wants off the team that had the best record in the East last year. He wants to get away from a team that has a legitimate look at an NBA championship. So again, the question for the entire league or anybody watching this is, for who? For what? James Harden's rep took a hit. Anthony Davis took a hit when he wanted out of New Orleans, but most people could understand why those guys wanted out of those places. I'm not sure anybody anywhere understands why Simmons wants out of Philly. Why? Because his name came up in trade talks with Houston? Because Joel is a bigger deal? Because Doc Rivers said something hurtful after that brutal Game 7 loss where he passed up a slam dunk? Where come to find out he might have tried to get out of the game altogether by faking COVID exposure? Why does this guy want out? And the really stupid thing is he wants out that badly, but what he's doing is making it so much more difficult and not easier for Philadelphia to trade him. The market for this guy is plummeting because people around the league are going to question if this guy is worth the headache. Is a really talented guy worth the idiocy that comes with how he's handled the last few months? Like, what potential future teammate is going to look at what Joel Embiid has gone through with Simmons and think, man, that's the guy I want to go to war with. That's the guy I want to run with. That's the guy I want to play with. Get me Ben Simmons. I want the guy who allegedly faked a COVID exposure to avoid playing in a Game 7. I want the guy who shows up to practice with a laptop in his back pocket. Allegedly. I mean, if you did even the bare minimum, if you managed to get through a practice without getting sent home, you would help your rep and your trade value. If you didn't get suspended for the regular season opener and you balled out, the market would heat up. You'd help your rep and you'd help your chances of getting the hell out of town for whatever reason you want to get the hell out of town for. But instead, you're doing this. Whatever this is. But let me tell you, this, whatever it is like the dumbest thing ever. Because if Ben completely tuned out and couldn't give two bleeps, you know what? Why not let the guy play? Feed him to Philly fan if he doesn't want to lose a paycheck. And Daryl Morey is not willing to take less than market value. Let's see how it plays out. Get him on the court. Maybe Ben can post TikToks during free throws. Maybe when he's open, he can launch half-court hook shots. You know, kind of like back in the day when Mark Aguirre was doing things like that with the Clippers. Tom Tolbert told me this story back in the day about Aguirre when he was not happy where he was.
Mark Aguirre's on the opposite side of the court. We're inbounding at half-court. So he comes up. He's the only guy open at the time. They pass him the ball. And what does he do? Instead of turning and trying to find something, the dude throws up a Meadowlark Lemon 40-foot hook and doesn't even draw glass. I mean, just I'm sitting on the bench going, I'm pretty sure that's not the way he drew it up. Like, I wasn't paying complete attention because I wasn't in the game, but I'm pretty sure we don't have that one in the playbook.
Hey, I'm pretty sure Mark Aguirre didn't give a damn. He's Mark Aguirre.
Oh, no. I know for a fact he didn't give a damn. There's no pretty sure about it. He didn't give a rat's ass about that shot or that guy. So the next day, just to cap off the story, we're playing the Warriors, my former team, and Mully was still there. And we were walking off, and Mully walked by and goes, dude. He goes, that was an unbelievable play you guys ran last night. He goes, I tried to get Nelly to put that one in the playbook.
Good times. Oh, Alvin. Found that one from the archives. What year is that? That's probably one of those ones that's so old we don't have a year. Actually, I take that back. That's when I had an appearance up north. So that was probably 5 years ago. Tom Tolbert talking about Mark Aguirre throwing up hook shots from 40 feet out. That's what Ben should do. Hey, Ben, go ahead and pass up those wide open dunks in game 7. But throw up a Meadowlark Lemon hook shot from 50 feet. Dude, if you want out, if you really hate it that much there, go to practice. Try. If your rep isn't completely torched already. There are ways to do this. This is not one of them. All right, when we come back. Phone lines are filling up quickly. If you have a beef, you want to call right now, 1-800-636-8686, because next hour is full already. So I've got a question for you. Why is Old Trapper beef jerky so good? Well, there is something to be said for a family business, which stands by quality and produces the world's finest beef jerky. Do not be fooled by other brands. All beef jerky is not one and the same. Make sure you choose Old Trapper, where you can actually see the quality right through their iconic Clearview packages. Every bite of Old Trapper is tender. It's never tough because they use only the best ingredients. From their lean strips of beef, seasoned with top quality spices, to their real wood-fired smoke, Old Trapper delivers quality in every single bite, and it comes in 4 exceptional flavors. So what you want to do is go and grab a 4-ounce bag. That way you can sample all of them. Or if you want, load up with an 18-ounce bag. And that way you have enough for the entire team. If you don't see it, be sure to ask for Old Trapper by name. Because no other jerky compares. Old Trapper, what is your beef? We love it here. Rit is on it all day, every day in the studio. Old Trapper. What's your beef?
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
So what's going on Saturday? What do you got going? I'll give you some help. Saturday at 3:30 Eastern and 12:30 Pacific, the SEC on CBS is headlined by LSU heading to Oxford for a meeting with one of the most potent offensive attacks in the conference. Number 13, Ole Miss. Coverage getting underway at 2:30 Eastern, 11:30 a.m. Pacific. We drive to Atlanta, followed by College Football Today, taking you right up until kickoff. Saturday, the SEC is on CBS. All right, so the beef segment's coming up next segment. So you've got about 15 minutes. Really quickly, I know we have some new listeners. The way this works, we do it once a week. Every Wednesday, what's your beef? You can call up or tweet or email anything you want. It does not have to just be sports. That's the one time we really go off the board completely. I don't care what it is. Call me at 1-800-636-8686. Hit me up on Twitter at Jim Rome, R-O-M-E, or email me directly at Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. All right, quickly. Jayco 2432 writes, Romy Rome, my beef is with Ben Simmons. What a bum. And such a bleeping little brat. Ben, you make divas look good. Nut up, brother. And earn that loot.
Brother.
Get in the gym. Get a jumper. If not, give all the money back and go on your way. Hashtag ungrateful. Listen, again, I'm not sure why he wants out. I mentioned the other guys. I know why AD wanted out, and it worked. I know why James Harden wanted out. That could work out pretty well, depending on what Kyrie does. And even maybe not depending on what Kyrie does. I understand why those guys wanted out. I understand why they didn't like their situations. I'm not really clear on why Ben is so unhappy in Philadelphia. But even if he is, there are much better ways to go about it than the way he's going about it right now. And that's if we accept that he's unhappy there. I'm not sure what he's unhappy about. Again, I think this is part of it. Why are you so unhappy? Because Doc Rivers said something critical after a bad Game 7 loss? I mean, Doc is like the ultimate player's coach. What are you unhappy about? Joel? That Joel's a bigger deal than you are? Are you unhappy about the fit? Like your two games don't match, they don't work, they don't fit? I mean, I don't know what it is about this guy that he's so unhappy about. You were the team to beat in the East. This is a good situation. But even if you decided that it's not, man, this is not the way to handle it. And if you really want out, you're not helping yourself. Ken writes, Rome, Ben Simmons should just go out there and attempt a 70-yard field goal. Signed, Lane Kiffin. I mean, see? Exactly. That worked. That got him fired. There are ways to get yourself fired. There are ways to get yourself traded. And by the way, Lane's awesome, and Lane has done a lot of awesome things, but what was more awesome than sending his kicker out there for a 70-yarder?
Wait a minute, he's bringing Janikowski out.
Okay, there we go.
Okay, hold on. Let's start to do the math on this. This would be 76 yards. This wouldn't only be the all-time record.
The wind.
This would completely shatter it.
Wind is in his face.
76 yards into the wind. Unimaginable.
Unimaginably awesome. First of all, it was not 70. It was 76. And it was into the wind. Lane's the best. John Hedstrom writes, Jim, you know as well as I do what the Sixers need to do with Ben Simmons. Run his ass down.
Run his ass down.
Signed, Bob in L.A.
Run his ass down.
Good take, Bob. You know what you do with guys like that? Quote, you run his ass down.
Run his ass down.
At Jimmy Bach Mason tweets, Jim, if basketball doesn't work out for Ben Simmons, he can always go to work at Dunkin' Donuts. Oh, no, wait, never mind. That's lame, Jim. Dear Jimmy, we totally think that Russ is on his way to a long and successful career as a Laker. Signed, Steve Nash, Karl Malone, Gary Payton, Anton Jameson, Mitch Richmond, and Dennis Rodman. Mo from the D. Pretty funny. You have to think for a minute. Wait, did that guy actually play in L.A.? All right, so I don't know who sent this, but this is true. I said I've never actually gone to the closet and put on something based on something that happened on the show. That's not true. And I have to admit, I'm a little embarrassed I forgot about this, because this was one of my favorite moments on the program. This says, what about that sexy Monmouth gamer that you rocked out one time? Signed, Mama Pappas.
Hey, Jim Rome, how are you?
I'm great. So are you really George Pappas' mother?
I am Georgie Pappas' mother.
What motivated you to make this phone call today, Alexis?
His father and I happened to be there at that epic moment when he pulled the trigger with the last 5 seconds and made the dunk. The steal, the dunk, the flex, the curse out, the tee. I guess he did everything he possibly could do in 5 seconds, right or wrong. It was a good moment for our family.
What happens when a moment like that puts your family in the spotlight and all of a sudden the Pappas family is viral?
I was very upset when the sports writers were saying that it wasn't classy. What do they know about what the last 5 seconds is in a game when you're playing against Kansas?
Get him! She's so great. Normally, I am not at all in favor of athletes' families getting involved. Wives, moms, dads, kids, any of it. They know. Family members know not to get involved. They know. Any public figure knows, right? You're going to get defensive, but this is what you signed up for. It's all part of it. Normally, I am not in favor of that at all, unless it is Alexis Pappas. How awesome is she? Listen to that quote. And what she defended was so awesome, because her son took a lot of heat for not dribbling out the clock and going down and throwing one down in a 50-point blowout. It was so awesome. And then everybody was so offended. What are you doing? Why are you not dribbling it out? It's a 50-point blowout. She handled that like a total boss.
I was very upset when the sports writers were saying that it wasn't classy. What do they know about what the last 5 seconds is in a game when you're playing against Kansas?
So I defended it, and I defended it on this show for a few days, and I said if they send me that gamer or a gamer from that school, I will wear it on air. And sure enough, Mama Pappas sent it to me. I still have it. I rocked it, and then she came on and just dominated. Loved it. So I officially apologize. Alexis, I am sorry for not remembering that great moment, because that was one of my favorite moments on this show. There you go. I stand corrected. I own it. All right, let's get to the beef segment next. It's time. I would tell you to call, but you can't get through. Every line is lit. You can hit me up on social if you want, at Jim Rome. You can email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. You can lay out and listen to this sports update. Hosted by...
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Listen, not all beef jerky is the same. Old Trapper's original old-fashioned teriyaki, hot and spicy and peppered, all come in 4-ounce bags so you can sample different flavors and find the best one for you. Ask for Old Trapper by name, because no other jerky compares. Old Trapper, what is your beef? All right, so if you're new to it, this is how this works. You hit me up with a beef. Tweet it, email it, call it, whatever it is. I don't care. As an example, first one. Rome, my beef is with these pharma commercials. They use actors pretending to be athletes. With millions of out-of-work actors out there, you can't find even one that can spike a volleyball or shoot a three without looking like my boss at a company picnic? And for God's sake, there is no bunting in slow-pitch softball. Jeff in Boise, see what I mean? Really random. I don't care what your beef is, if it's a strong beef. If there's something that's aggravating you, I'm here for it. Hey, Rome, I have a beef with the people on an escalator that stand right in the middle, despite what many of you bags seem to think. There are rules for using an escalator. Move to the right when you're standing still. Stick to the left side if you're walking up or down. It's pretty simple. Aaron in Iowa. See what I mean? Random. This guy's complaining about escalator etiquette. Escalator protocol. Rome Slice, my beef is with the dirtbags that drive around with dogs in their lap. These gigantic tools swerve all over the road like Mark Few on Boone's Farm, while their Pomeranian bounces all over the steering wheel and dash. Do us all a favor and just let the dog drive, because Fifi is clearly smarter than you. Thanks, Justin in Redding. See, that's different. And not good for Mark Few. At 541 Brown, quote, Rome, my beef is with Red Bull drinkers. You people make coffee breath actually smell good. Jim in Indiana, quote, my beef is with the guy who came up with thin Reese's peanut butter cups. What moron thinks that smaller servings of candy is a good thing? Wore Costco-sized bags of Skittles that last through an entire program. Signed, Garrett Ritt.
Jelly beans suck.
Hey, Jim. My beef is with people in my office and their noisy water bottles. If you aggressively screw the lid off and on your Hydro Flask one more time, I might pop my own lid. I promise you do not need to take a tiny sip of water or whatever strange liquid you're concealing every 7 seconds, and you definitely don't need to shake the ice repeatedly either. Jay-Z in Minneapolis. All right, that's a new one.
Lots of
ice. That's one that I've not heard before. Thermos protocol. That guy must be so pissed. You could hear it. Like, all day long he has to deal with that. Hey, Jim. My beef is with people who get up ridiculously early for no reason. Then they proceed to do dishes and have loud conversations at 5:30 in the morning. Yeah, don't worry about it. I was going to get up in 3 hours anyway. I'll come visit you again, never. Yeah, Lee, you sound like a great guy to have around. I don't think you have to worry about that, Lee. I don't think you're going to get an invite ever again. You know, there are people that you have over to your house that are easy to have around, and then there's Lee. You know, the ones that help out and the ones who do nothing but wait for you to wait on them, like Lee. Susie from Wisco writes, hey, Grandma, stop asking questions in the movie. I have the same amount of information you do. If you can't hear, read the subtitles. If you can't read, then just rest your eyes and I will watch for the both of us.
War Lady Clones.
Hey, Jimothy, my beef is with the dude that tucks the top of his ears under his baseball cap. Pull those Dumbo ears out and rock that dome piece like a man, you bag. Nick in Erie. Margo from Buffalo is in. Quote, my beef is when you're at a four-way traffic stop and the person in the other car waves for you to go and you wave for them to go. They wave again for you to go. And then when you start to go, they go. Hello. Get your belief together. Rome, my beef is with Funyuns. They taste like complete ass, yet take up one quarter of the Frito-Lay mixed snack package. Stoners don't even like them. Hey, Frito-Lay, how about mixing in a few extra bags of Cool Ranch nachos instead of that greasy crap? Dresden, C-Town, Warcase Keenum. Yeah, I gotta admit, I don't go looking for them, but I'm not opposed when I see them. I'm okay with them. Funyuns don't bother me. In fact, Dodger Jano actually likes them. Mmm. Mmm. Ritt loves them. Mmm. Funyuns. Ryan in Sacktown. JR, I have beef with adults who begin eating their groceries before they check out. Jane Humboldt, quote, I got beef with guy in a packed restroom. Let me stop right there. Every single beef segment always has at least one beef. There's always some bathroom beef. Like, I thought we'd run through all of it by now, but I haven't, apparently. I got beef with guy in a packed restroom, standing at the urinal with his drawers around his ankles, who then lets one rip. It's bad enough we have to see his nasty butt. Now he's going to share his beef stew. Buttocks. Gross. Yo, fellas, that doesn't need to see the light of day. I can't keep that off Twitter, but I can't keep that off the air. Chalk. I don't know who's responsible for that. You or Ritt. Seems more like chalk humor to me. H.O.F. Spillane tweets, Rome, my beef is with my husband. When he goes to work, he always leaves the lid to his coffin open. Signed, Mrs. Chalk. Somewhat clever. Here she is. She's a killer. At Romy's My Homie tweets, I got beef with Twitter for banning my account for making fun of some idiot rednecks chrome truck nuts. Hey, Twitter, get yourself a big bag of rubadongas.
Rubadonga.
And eat every rubadonga in it. You asses. Abigail in San Diego, unwore sensitive kooks.
War lady clones.
Abigail ain't playing. I don't know, Abigail. You got to work. You got to come with something pretty offensive to get banned from Twitter. Because there's a lot of really offensive stuff that they allow on Twitter. War lady clones. All right, let's get to it. Let's go to the phones now. Quickly, we go to Kansas City. Bob on the phones. Bob, what's your beef?
Jim, my beef is with my son-in-law, Mo. I taught him about the Jim Rome show, brought him up about the Jim Rome show. I'm listening last Wednesday, and I hear Mo talking about my daughter on the radio. That is not a good family look. Thanks, Jim. Have a great day.
My man, Bob. All right, so I don't know if he's telling the truth or not. I don't know if that guy's playing off of this call or these two guys got together to set it up. Alvy's shaking me off like he doesn't have it. I know the Mo that he's talking about. Why are you shaking me off like that, dude? He hasn't found it yet. I know what you're talking about. 1-800-636-8686. Hey, Ike, if you're going to set me up to take that call, communicate with your engineer to make sure that he's got that sound. Can you dudes on the other side of the glass pull your heads out your asses and communicate with each other? All right? Wake up! Oh, no, now you have it, Alvin. Way to get it in the same day. Go ahead.
My beef is with my wife, man. Last night, you know, we're wrestling around, and all of a sudden she wanted me to pin her. And I'm like, Jim, I don't want to have another kid with her.
All right, so apparently her dad just called and said that he had a beef with his son-in-law for talking about the family like that on the show. He said, I turned him on to the Jim Rome show. I didn't expect him to call with that. All right, better late than never, fellas. Let's go this time to Montana, Sean. Hey, Sean, what's your beef?
Jim, my beef is with your kinder, gentler definition of a clone for your 2021 listeners. I've been listening since 93, 690 days, when I was in Camp Pendleton. A clone would listen to the program, call your show, and regurgitate your own take right back to you. And then when your show ended, they'd call Hacksaw, they'd call the coach, John Quintero, and they would offer your opinion on their show as their own take. And a clone was derogatory, although imitation is a form of flattery, I guess. But I don't know. These kind of gentler times. My beef is the clone. There's a clone and a listener. I'm a listener, not a clone. Love the show. I'm out.
My man, you're right. You're right. That's true, by the way. You're right. I literally dumbed that down for the sake of brevity. You're right. It was kind of derisive. But again, I'm not going to bite the hand that feeds. Anyway, I could give you the definition of a clone, but it would take like 10 minutes. And I don't have 10 minutes right now, but what he says is accurate. Let's go to Wisconsin. Doug in Wisco. What's going on, Doug? What's your beef?
Hey, everyone. Thanks for the call. My beef is with the home plate umpire Diaz, the Astros Red Sox last night. How many botched calls can you make? Especially in the most critical of times. Of all these guys, Castro down, 1-2, throws a beautiful curveball over the right side of the plate, botched call. Totally changed the game. If they get out of that inning, they're bottom of the ninth, they got a chance to win the game. What the heck's up with that?
Right. Get in, get out. I hear you. I feel your frustration. Like we said, there's got to be a human element involved, or maybe there doesn't, right? Bring on the robots. If you're going to affect the outcome and the bottom line, bring on the robots. You know what I should do? I should do a better job. I spent a lot of time on social and the emails, and I did not get to that many phone calls, and there were a lot of people with beefs. I may extend it. I may give them a little bonus run at the top of the hour. More beefs. So if you want to stay on hold, go ahead. I may hit you up anyway. I do want to talk about the Lakers. I haven't even gotten to that yet. That's incredible. All the way to hour number three, and we have not gotten to the Lakers. And I do have a couple of interviews next hour as well. Stay tuned. You're in the jungle. I'm Jim Rome. Third hour straight ahead.